are you going to look back on these days when you were in the height of your marriage and of your family? Are you going to regret these days? Will you be saddened when you remember? Will you be saddened when you see what your children are doing? I mean, look how Samuel's children grieved his heart, how Eli's children grieved his heart, how David's children grieved his heart. It is a common melody. Or will you have, or will these have been the greatest years of your life? I think the choice is yours. Where are you headed in your marriage and as a family tonight? You will never get to anywhere you're not headed right now. You'll never, and I'll never become what I'm not today becoming. And so that's why I said incremental choices today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, in the new year. Today. Do you know that a no-regret marriage and family is a wonderful blessing from the Lord? Let's do a theology of marriage from God's perspective. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, Paul, at the end of his life, we know nothing of his marital status. Most likely, he was married. We don't know of any Sanhedrin member that wasn't, so he would have been a very unique fella if he wasn't. But we don't know anything about it. There are little clues, and I'm not going to get into his status. But at the end of his life, Paul said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The idea there is something you can't recover. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished the course of the race, and I've kept the faith. You know, he didn't stand there and say, I wish I would have done something different. He just said, I'm ready to go. No regret life. Look with me at Psalm 127 and 128. And I'd encourage you, if you have your Bible, to actually mark this and use your Bible as a guide, where we find the inspired sketch of the beautiful stages of God's work at growing a wonderful marriage and a wonderful family. And there are four beautiful stages this psalm gives us. And as we look, ask yourself, is this what I want? Because you'll never get what you don't want. Secondly, is this what I have? And if so, share it. And finally, is this worth changing areas of my personal life to accommodate God's word and my response? If I want to change, am I willing to alter something I do in order to get the desired response from God? First section, Psalm 127, the first two verses, give us the first picture of what a wonderful family looks like. A no-regret family is careful to lay a godly foundation. You know the verses. We quote them often. We put them on baby cards, and we share them, but it's a truth. Look what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house. So we have to realize that we can't have anything that God doesn't build. If he doesn't build it, it won't last. And if we build it, it won't last. He has to build it. They labor in vain who build it, unless the Lord guards the city. I heard someone talking about their children tonight, and they said, we just have to give them to the Lord. And that is so hard, but it's so true. Unless the Lord guards all that's important to us, the watchman stays awake in vain. I actually remember counseling with a dear couple in my office some years back, and they had devised an ingenious system where they would put common pins in the door frame of the house, of their kids' bedroom, so they'd know if they went out at night. Of course, they waited up until midnight or two, hoping they hadn't gone out, and then they would stick common pins in their doors. And the next morning, they'd get up at 5 and check, and usually the pins had moved. The kids had been out prowling that night. What a way to live. What a way to have a family. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives. The Lord wants to help us lay a godly foundation for a wonderful family. The second point is in verses 3 through 5, a no-regret family is careful to trust God for the blessed fruitfulness of that family. You know, we live in an age where there are so many options to us, we think that all of them we should exercise. I'm not going to comment on a lot of what's going on in our culture, but I see an amazing trend. I see people standing on their head doing anything to have children, and after they do, then they start having them naturally. And what you find is that if they perhaps had yielded themselves and relaxed and trusted the Lord and let him give them their heritage, the fruit of the womb is a reward, then they might have had a lot less grief and sorrow. And that's just, how many people do we know that after they adopted their first child had a child, right? How many? It's unbelievable. But we need to see that we have to trust God for the blessed fruitfulness of a family. And it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, we know these verses, so are the children of one's youth. And children should make us happy. We should not be ashamed of those children. Those children should be able to hold their own. in commerce in the city. At the gate, that was the center of the city in the ancient world. And a godly family's children ought to be able to minister even in the absence of the parents. The fourth section of this wonderful description of the family is in the first four verses, 128 Psalm. It says, a no-regret family enjoys happy family life. Let me ask you tonight, is your family a happy family? I'm not saying, do you have to discipline your children? Do you sometimes have to correct them? Sometimes you have to roll them back from a wrong way. But is it happy? Is it joyous? Is it an overflowing of God's blessing? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. There's a true plank in the godly family. Who walks in his ways. That should be the overarching communication we give. We want them to walk in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife, you see, God says, I want to bring my blessing down in every part of your life. If you'll fear me and walk in my way, you'll be happy. Your wife will be fruitful in the very heart of your house. She won't be detached. She won't be distant. She won't be troubled and everything else. She will be at the very heart of your house, fruitful. Your children are like olive plants. Olives are very interesting. Olives grow in any soil. Palms don't. Olives do. You can grow an olive in any soil. You can just drop it between rocks and it'll grow. It's unbelievable. And what it's saying is that your children, no matter what setting, no matter how much stuff you have, they will be like olive plants around your table if you have a godly home. And you will be blessed when you fear the Lord. The last section is the closing days of a godly family. And a no-regret family enjoys the fulfillment of a godly family that is satisfying in old age. Think about that. Think about the blessing multiplied when you see your children's children following the Lord. And it says, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem in all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And as the Apostle John said at the end of his life, listen to this, the supreme earthly joy we can ever experience is when we see our family following the Lord. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, yes, my children spiritually, but how much even more so my children spiritually and physically? I told our children as they were growing up, and I still tell them because they're still growing up, I say there's three relationships I always want to have with you. I said, I always will be your father. Can't lose me. Even in heaven, I'll still be your father you had on earth. Number two, I want to be your brother. I want you to be saved. And finally, I would like to be friends with you all of my life. I'd like for us to be friends. And so you cultivate those three relationships, and there's no greater joy on earth. Well, the wonderful family, quite a promise, what an opportunity to have such a rare and precious home. And that is exactly what the Lord offers to us this evening. And what the Lord offers is, if it's not exactly where it should be tonight, then you make some incremental changes. And if it's there, then you guard it. But we have to maintain what the Lord offers us tonight.